We have new, whoa, I am loud. All right. We have new Vacation Bible School cards. So if you guys could take a handful and please pass them out to your schools and your neighbors. Give everyone some. Please pass these out to your schools and your neighbors. Give some to those behind you. Thank you, Stephen. Beautiful selection of songs tonight. So sweet. So sweet. There's been some people asking about on the Chinese translation about headphones, so maybe we should get some of the bigger ones instead of the smaller ones because they weren't working well. Is that what we need to order some, Carmen? Okay. Let me know because we can always get some different headphones if we need to or whatever we need to do. All right. Well, I am so excited to be teaching Exodus. You won't hear a lot of pastors say that, right? I'm excited to teach through Exodus. So today we are going to be in Exodus chapter 24. So you can mark that, but we're not going to start there. So go ahead, if you need a Bible, let's grab everyone a Bible. Exodus chapter 24. You know, Carl, he's not here with us tonight, but he really did a great job teaching. I was really appreciative of him. And I noticed, though, as I was studying today, that, you know, once in a while you get going through Exodus, and it's a lot. So sometimes we got to go back and look, just do a quick review, just so we can know where we ended up, right? That's kind of like a testimony for all of us, right? We get going, we're in like chapter 47 in my life, right? I'll be 48 coming up soon. But sometimes we got to look back and see where we come from and where we've been to explain what's going on in our lives today. And I think as we're teaching through Exodus 2, we look at all this, but we need to just take a quick look back just for a few minutes because there's a lot of context. There's a lot of things going on. This is a narrative story. And so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time, but again, mark your Bibles in Exodus chapter 24. But then, after you mark your Bibles in Exodus 24, turn to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Let's see here. I'll even turn there. Right after Genesis, chapter 50. So, if you were to open your Bibles up here, what we see all the way back in Exodus chapter 1, we remember the Israelites, and they were enslaved in Egypt. And then, if you were just to flip a page right just to Exodus chapter 2, what we see as they were enslaved, we learn the story of the birth of Moses. So, God had ordained this man to come, and we see in chapter 3 that God then makes that known to Moses, right? This revelation God gives to Moses for him. And then as we continued in Exodus, we would go to chapter 4, and we see then as God had revealed to Moses his calling, his purpose, then we see Moses arguing, debating God about this revelation, this calling that he had on his life. Eventually, though, we know, then returning after everything took place to Egypt and to walk in the calling to fulfill that promise that God had given to free God's people from slavery. In chapter 5, we also then start to see that he wasn't alone. Moses wasn't alone. He had a brother, Aaron. And so they went, these two, they went to the Pharaoh, they went to Egypt, they went to the leaders, and they did this in the Lord's name. And remember what he did? He demanded before Pharaoh that the Israelites would be set free. And we know the story, but Pharaoh was like, nope, gonna have no part of that, right? And even then, this resulted in the Israelites' life even getting harder, right? Made their lives more difficult. Remember the story. And then chapter 6, you can just keep turning. Chapter 6. What we see here then in chapter 6 is the Lord then coming back to Moses because this didn't go the way he thought it should go, right? He was obedient. Well, it didn't work. Then the Lord reassures Moses of his promise. Then in chapter 7, we see now the Lord revealing himself to all the people, Pharaoh, his house, to the Israelites. And he did this, what, through the plagues. And this went on through the next several chapters, right? All these plagues, all the way to chapter 11 that took place. You guys are all very familiar. And it leads us to a very important chapter in 11. We see the death of the firstborn. And in chapter 12, what we see is the first Passover. God gave these instructions to the Israelites and spared all the families, all of them actually, that would be obedient to the one true God. And we see the first Passover where the firstborn of all things were taken. And then we know after that, what we've seen was the Israelites being set free from Israel. But then he set them free, right? We remember the story and what happened right after he set them free. Changed his mind a bit, got really upset, chased after them, pursued them with his armies. This is where we read the miraculous miracle that we're all familiar with the parting of the Red Sea. And in chapter 15, after they've been delivered, Pharaoh's armies destroyed, God has preserved them, we see a song that they worship God, this song of deliverance. It's right there in chapter 15. God had freed his people, and he'd done this through a miraculous escape through the sea. Now we know, though, as they have escaped, they're in the high desert now, and we know the struggles for these people were very real and very serious. They were, in fact, running out of water and food. I mean, to shorten the story very shortly, right? They had real physical needs that they had concern for. Then we read continually as the chapters go on how God then continuously provided all they would need physically, spiritually, food, water. And even, what else did he provide? He provided protection from them. We see in chapter 6:17, if you look, there was other groups of people, right? And God then also provided protection and them also strength to fight the battles. Well, all this is going on. Moses had a very, very big job in front of him, right? We've been reading about all this and we've reading it was Moses and Aaron, but there's a lot of people and a lot of things going on. And so we see in chapter 18, as Moses then went to his father-in-law, and he got some great advice from his father-in-law as he's dealing with all these things. And he's like, you don't have to do this alone. You have help. Moses then listened to his father-in-law and started establishing capable men as leaders over the people. Pretty amazing. You're seeing this. Now, 2 months after they've left Egypt, we read and then in chapter 19 that the Lord then revealed himself once again to the people and given a covenant to his people through Moses. And then in chapter 20, we see the Ten Commandments, this new covenant. Continuously then, we've been studying through the next several chapters. We've seen and studied lately the regulation or the laws of how these people should live. All the way from how you should treat other people, no matter of their ethnic, social, or backgrounds, to personal injury, what you should do, how you should deal with that, to property rights, and even social responsibility, how we should deal with the poor and deal with other people within society. And then in chapter 23, we also saw that God set forth that all the people should observe the three festivals, right? And this was done to honor God, to worship him, to remember and reflect on all that he had done for these people. And God then gives a promise to protect them, to ensure their safety. And that takes us today to chapter 24. As today we will see Israel accept this covenant that has been given to them. Because we've been talking over the last 3 or 4 weeks or so about, more than that, even 5 or 6 weeks, about this new covenant, starting with the Ten Commandments, all the regulations, all the rules, the festivals. But now, this has all been Moses, right? Now, will the people accept the message from God through Moses and what he's placed before them? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word as we dig into this chapter, as we see your new covenant. Lord, as we see the people, Lord, receive that covenant. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we study your word, Lord, that you would just bless this time and we would see just your outpouring of your spirit, Lord. We'd all learn something today from the book of Exodus and who you are and who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. So Exodus chapter 24, let's begin with the first 3 verses. Then the Lord instructed Moses, "Come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of Israel's elders. All of you must worship from a distance. Only Moses is allowed to come near to the Lord. The others must not come near, and none of the other people are allowed to climb up the mountain with him." Then Moses went down to the people and repeated all the instructions and the regulations the Lord had given him. And the people answered with one voice, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." So this is pretty interesting. What we see now is everything that we've been studying and looking at now has been brought forth to the people through Moses. And we've been studying that we've seen as God has been speaking to Moses, using Moses as his mouthpiece to the people. But we see now that he's actually invited others, at least others, to come up to the mountain, right? Although they were instructed to keep a distance. And it would be then Moses alone that would come near. So Moses had special access to God. And God was using Moses to speak to the people. And through Moses, God would speak to this nation and make his will, his covenant, his promises known. So now Moses, he's went back to all these people and he's told all these people what God had said. Everything that we've been studying, right? All these things. This was a lot. And the people heard what Moses had to say. And they believed and they responded very positive. And they came in complete agreement. They agreed to obey God and all that he had set forth in this covenant. All the people. They were very quick, if you think about it, to agree and say, "We obey all the commands and we're going to follow after the one true God." Right? They're very quick. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing, right? But so often I think that's us, you know? Yes, God, but yet not completely understanding what would be required of us. The sacrifices that would need to be made to follow God's will. We're like, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it." That's good, right? That's good. But just as then and just as now, we often don't have a clear picture of what that really looks like. I think God's word was clear what he required, but we don't understand there's a price. There's always a price. And in faith, we have to walk through this obediently each and every day. You know, again, it's not a bad thing when they just said, "Yes, Lord," in obedience. But also, I want everyone to be clear, as all of us have probably said, yes, Lord, don't be too discouraged or hard on yourself. When you've said, yes, Lord, and sometimes we don't always do the right thing. Don't beat yourself up. Repent, move on. It's okay. I think he wants that heart that's just, yes, Lord. Right? But we're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect till we're with him in heaven. And don't be discouraged just because you said, yes, Lord, and you made a mistake. These people are going to make a bunch of mistakes. Right? In fact, we'll see very soon they're going to make a big mistake. So I think it's interesting. Yes. I don't know. I just found that interesting. We're all going to have struggles at times. And we can just turn around and say, yes, Lord, I struggled, and let's move on. So let's continue. Let's look at verses 4 through 8. Then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions. Early the next morning, Moses got up and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. He also set up 12 pillars, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he set out some of the young Israelite men to present burnt offerings, to sacrifice bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses drained half the blood from these animals into basins. The other half he splattered against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it out loud to the people. Again, they responded, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey." Then Moses took the blood from the basins and splattered it all over the people, declaring, "Look, this blood confirms the covenant the Lord has made with you and giving you these instructions." There's a lot of details given here. And you could honestly have a Bible study just on these few verses. But we're going to get through the chapter tonight. I love the details, and there's so much in that. So we see to start, though, that Moses then took and he wrote the words down. Right? Because so far, this had been what the Lord had told Moses and what Moses had told the people. But now, Moses has taken this and he's wrote it out. And here we are today. How many years later, reading the words that it talks about here that he wrote out? Isn't that amazing when you think about that? Reading the Word of God that was given us by Moses, by God. And we're reading that same text here today. In verse 3, we see that, again, Moses had verbally shared the word, but now it's the written word of God. And it's just amazing when I think about it. Now, this covenant, I want to say something about this. This covenant that's given here was not a individual promise, say, to Moses or to the individual people, but it's a covenant with a promise for all these people who then would belong to God. So this covenant was between him and these people, the Israelites, God's people. Now what's interesting to me is you think about us today in the new covenant, right? This was the old covenant. Jesus, this was fulfilled. But now today, the new covenant, we each can, through faith in Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with the Father God through Jesus Christ, right? So we can have a relationship with him. We have the Spirit of God living within us. That's very personal, right? But all of this that we have today through Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection is through a covenant that he then made on the cross with all the people that would place their faith in Jesus Christ. And I find that interesting because the covenant's for all. It's a gift. You just have to accept that gift he's given you. God wanted to make sure that generations would know this. He wanted to make sure that generations would have these promises as he's written his word, so that all could read this and come to faith and know who he is. So again, God's word was written. Next, what do you see after the word was written? We see a sacrifice. We see a sacrifice, an offering to God. This was the people then, hearing the word, writing the word, accepting the word, then coming before God, offering a sacrifice, the best of what they would have had, saying, here I am, let me come before you. This was obedience, knowing that they were seeking him, that they needed him. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to see a picture already being kind of painted of Jesus. You guys seen a picture of Jesus starting to be painted here and what was to come later? I mean, what a response. Think about it. The people heard the word being taught. They heard the word, God's word, the written word, right? The written word. They responded in not just in hearing and listening, but we've been talking about this. They responded then in action by giving, offering a sacrifice. Again, I talked about it on Sunday. We shouldn't let God's word just enter one ear and out the other, but it should affect us in obedience. And this is what the people did. They were then obedient to give a sacrifice, an offering to God. And then the word then would take hold of their lives and the people and their minds and their hearts. Again, there was outward action taken. So now also you look at the Book of the Covenant. What's that? This. Torah. Word of God. It's what we have today. It's the Old Testament. So then Moses took this blood. And you can say sealed the people's acceptance of the Lord's covenant. Or just as we look to Jesus and his blood was given, his blood, we just did communion. His blood was given for the new covenant, right? That's what was sealed. That's what brought the new covenant. His blood was poured out. Again, a picture. There's a lot going on in these few verses. But again, remember what we started with. Here's the word of God being shared to the people. Then the people responding by offering sacrifice. Then those that heard the word obviously have received the word. And then they confirmed by obedience and sacrifice before God. Let's look at verses 9 through 10. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain. Now, I just stopped there because I always read verses. You know, these were like the elders, right? These had to be like the old guys. When I read stuff like this, I can imagine these guys all dressed up in their stuff and not physically good shape trying to climb this mountain. I don't know. This is the picture I get. I'm probably not way off. These weren't the young guys, right? He used the young guys earlier, right? He used the young guys to get up and for the altar. But now it's all these older guys heading up the mountain. I don't know. I mean, this is a real story, right? We can look at this. All right. Anyways, verse 11 here. 10. They saw the God of Israel. Under his feet, there seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue lapis lazuli. I don't know how to say that word. As clear as the sky itself. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. Again, you see a picture there? Lord's Supper? What does it mean exactly, though, when we read this, that they saw the God of Israel? It's a big question a lot of people ask, you know? And it's difficult to say, right, exactly what took place. We don't know exactly what this means. You can take it back to the original Hebrew language. And as I was reading up on this and looking it up, some say this. They believe we know God was above on the mountain. And they did not go to up, right? Only Moses went up. So what they were in God's presence, but they say the description we see is only under his feet. And we know this is kind of the picture we're given. And so what we see under his feet is the footstool of God that's being described here. That's what we see. So some aspect of this and some other visions of this we know is elsewhere in the Bible. We see it in Isaiah and Ezekiel. So most say what it was is these came up, God's presence was on the mountain, and they simply saw his feet in his footstool. So they may have been basically in his presence, but they did not actually were not face to face with God. I don't know exactly how this worked. The scriptures don't tell us exactly. But it is interesting because I don't think they were face to face because they could not, God could not be in their presence. They were not holy. They were not righteous. But they were looking upon where he was on the top of that mountain, and they could see his footstool and his feet. So how that works exactly, I don't know. We'll have to ask Moses when we all get to heaven. But it's an interesting debate that goes around these passages. These elders were obviously, though, in the presence of God. But there's still, of course, we know there was a separation between them and God. Had to be, because Jesus Christ had not came yet and paid the price of each and every one of their sins. So there was a separation. The sacrifice had not taken place yet. Although, even then, God wanted fellowship with his people. And it says they even ate and drank while they were there. So the Lord has supernaturally provided this fellowship. I mean, I'm sure this was something that each of them would, it would have been a milestone in their life, right? A memory stone. It's something they would always remember. It had to have been just absolutely amazing to think about what they were there. They're in the presence of God, down below him, and enjoying a covenant meal together. Picture of Jesus. Again. Remember, they'd go on in their lives, but they would go on knowing that God is real, God loves them, and God was the one that would provide for them. And these were the leaders that were going to lead the nation that Jesus Christ would come through. This was important. These leaders knew this. God sought them to have an intimate relationship just as he does for us. He seeks to have fellowship with us. We do that. We still have a covenant meal together when we take communion. We take the bread, we take the juice, and we have fellowship. Let's look at the last few verses, 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain. Stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone which I have inscribed, the instructions and the commands, so you can teach the people." So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up to the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, "Stay here. Wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them." Then Moses climbed up the mountain, and the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. The Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He remained on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, as I read this, we kind of see clearly, as we knew the elders went up the mountain, but God was still far above them on the mountain. Although I think they had this view, maybe of the footstool or his feet. They were not, I don't think they were face to face. But we see also that as God is called now Moses up to him, he then would be given the tablets that we're all familiar with and learned about, the Ten Commandments. So Moses, in obedience, went up to the mountain, took Joshua, which we know Joshua, right? We're going to learn more about him later. He's the one, the next leader, the one who would lead Israel. This was important. Again, God knew it would be Joshua. Joshua needed to know who God was. And all that Joshua would deal with, he'd remember that moment for his entire life and know who God was. And I think that's important. So they went up there, and I'm sure then in some distance and stopped, we read. Once they stopped, it says they waited for 6 days. Isn't that interesting? The same amount of days as creation. And then the day he rested, the seventh day, it says. It's interesting. That's all I can say about some of that. And then we know it lasted almost 6 weeks, 40 days and 40 nights. Somebody should recognize that number also. What's that mean exactly? A lot of people have guessed. There's something, but I don't know. So again, Moses is up on the mountain. The people are down at the base of the mountain. The elders were about halfway up, I think. That's a long time to wait and see what God had to say again through Moses. This has been a long time to wait. Moses, in his wisdom, then we know, left several men down to manage while he was gone. We're going to learn about how well they didn't do later. But he left some men there. So what we see in this entire chapter, 24, is we see the people, they accepted the covenant from the Lord through Moses. We see that Moses testified of who God was and is and gave him the instructions, the regulations that had been given to him. The people then, we know, accepted this. They proclaimed that they would do all that God had asked of them. And we know that Moses then also wrote down these instructions so they would have them to remember and for us to read today. And then we read that the people offered a sacrifice to seal the covenant. The people heard the word and they said, "We will obey." You know, through this entire chapter, I see the gospel. I've been sharing a little bit as he's gone through it. It's a testimony. A testimony, again, who God is and what he asked for us. If we look at just the simple message of Moses and what's taking place here, we see that we also are called to go out to the people and share what God has revealed to us. We are called to go out to the people and share the word of God. That's what Moses did, right? Then he requires to go and tell the people what God requires. What did he require of these people? To believe, to accept his word, to place their faith and obedience in him. That's what he asked of the people. They said, "We will obey." And then if they will respond to the word, knowing that we are sinners, we're in the need of a Savior, knowing who Jesus is, that he's died on the cross and he was resurrected, we also then, like the people, we'll look at the written word. We'll study the word. We'll look at it each and every day. And even, what about the sacrifice? Because the people then offered sacrifice. What's that look like today? We also are to offer sacrifice. It says we're to do that daily. We give ourselves before God and say, "Lord, here I am. I offer myself to you and I commit this to you." So even today, we offer sacrifice. It looks a little different because now Jesus' blood was given. So we don't have to give the physical sacrifice. Remember, it says that they have that covenant meal. To remember, today we do that in taking the Lord's Supper. Each time we take it, we remember and reflect what Jesus has done for us. How his body was broken, how his blood was shed. And now that we have this new covenant today, and through that we all now have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us. So today, all of us, we can, just as these people, accept God's covenant today through Christ Jesus, but also remembering, then it was more than them just saying yes, right? There was more. Today, it's more than just saying, "Yes, I believe." We want to have the same heart as these people had, saying, "We will obey. And we will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey." So I really enjoyed chapter 24. I thought it was really amazing to see this covenant that God has given the people and how it directly correlates with the covenant that we have through Jesus Christ. And how we have, what we see there is we have a direct revelation from God that then Moses wrote down that I have in my hand today. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Because God knew we needed reminded. We needed it. And I also like the fact that once they accepted the covenant, once they said, I believe and I'm going to be obedient, they did offer a sacrifice. For us, we need to do that daily. And so we know that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, but we each today need to surrender ourselves before God. That was a good chapter. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today through Exodus. Lord, I just hope today each one of us, Lord, that would come to know you, Lord, and understand who you are. Lord, that you love them so, so very much, Lord. And Lord, that you want them to know you, Lord, and know the joy and the peace that comes through that relationship with you, Lord. The Lord, you've given us a promise, Lord, just as you've given your people a promise then. Lord, you said, here's what I ask of you. And the people said, yes. Lord, I pray if anyone's here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, they would just commit themselves to you, Lord, even now, and just offer themselves before you. Lord, I praise you and thank you for your word that we have today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can come together tonight and study it, Lord. Please bless our meal together, Lord, as we will fellowship through food. And Lord, any questions that would come up, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would be able to, Lord, just answer them through your word, which we have. So Lord, we love you. And again, please bless our time and our food tonight. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.